If you'd turn to Colossians. And we're in the first chapter. And tonight we're going to pick up in the 20th verse. And last week, I thought it was so precious how the Lord gave us such insight into the inheritance of the saints in light. How He brought out that all things are created by Him. Again, this is the Word of God. And we need to settle with this. And, you know, there's sometimes as Christians we get caught up, it says to avoid, to abstain from foolish questions. Can you imagine that? Get on with the Word of God. Get on with the things that He has revealed, which is everything that you need to know. He's given you a blueprint for, if you really want to talk about it, yes, a successful life. And that successful life is abundant life. And He wants us to partake in that right now with Him, that we can, by His grace, have faith to realize what He's calling us into. But again, last week we talked about how all things were created by Him, for Him. Without Him, nothing was made. Nothing holds together. Nothing consists. I think about how self-reliant and self-sufficient man thinks that they are, how this world keeps coming to us. Truly, the approach is pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's out there. Only God is going to get you through. You want to be delivered from something? Trust God. He's there. His arm's never short. Nothing's too great. Anything hard for the Lord? No. And you need to believe it. That's that faith as a child. I appreciate thinking about my kids growing up. You know, when Daddy said something, that was it. That was what the truth was. Even if Daddy didn't believe it or not, it was the truth. But you know, this is the truth. And we're His children. And He's for us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? And He said, I'm not going to withhold anything good from you either. And He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And brothers and sisters, I believe that we're called. Now by His grace, we're worthy. And you know that. If you've accepted Christ, you are worthy. Now accept abundant grace and let's walk worthy. And that's what Colossians is encouraging us into. That's the correction that's going on in our life right now, is to win Him, to be that goodly pearl. So let's pick it up in the 20th verse. And I'll go ahead and read the 20th through the 23rd verse. And we'll go back to the 20th and start there. And having made peace. See, man doesn't make peace. This is only peace that we'll ever have is in Jesus Christ. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, and it's His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He's changed it completely, thoroughly. In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The 20th verse, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, or things in earth. And this really reminds me of our Hebrew study, which we had just finished. We have been reconciled. He has changed us thoroughly. He has changed everything thoroughly. We have been accepted in the Beloved. Atonement has been made. And I do want to go back over to Hebrews and just remind you of a couple verses that we were able to read some months ago. And we'll start with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And I appreciate that God and His invitation to us is so open. It's so complete. It is so absolutely free to come to Him. And I think again how anti that is to man's philosophy where we think we can do something good or acceptable to obtain God's favor. Let me tell you something. It's a free gift. You're insulting Jesus Christ if you think that you could merit anything of yourself. Listen to what it says. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I love that very first part there. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That is what Christ is asking us to do, and knowing that we can do that, to come forward to Him. Turn over to chapter 4 in the same Hebrews, verse 16. Actually, let's start reading in verse 15. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." See, He knows our weakness. I love how He starts this out. The Lord continues to reveal so many more things to you all the time as the Spirit will lead you that way. "But was in all points tempted like us as we," again showing our weakness, "yet without sin," showing His perfectness, completeness. He did it. He finished it. Hallelujah. Now, because of that and because of His finishing, let us therefore come boldly. Again, don't be shy. Don't be shy with God. Every single thing. Come in there. It's yours. This is your home. You're an heir of God. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a child and you're an heir of God. You have right. You do. Hallelujah. This is your right. And it's not to come because you're, and you think about this, what we're going to read here. It's not because, in a sense, you've done anything right. You've done anything good. You've merited anything. You're coming boldly to what? To the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I would hope that we would always be needy in Him. See, this is talking about infirmities again. He was touched with our weakness. Isn't that precious? Paul understood when he was strong. Finally, when he comes to the end of his life, he says, "I realize how strong I am. Even though I'm in a dungeon, I'm the aged, I'm completely weak, I can't get out of here, I almost can't feed myself, it's a wreck, but I'm strong because the very power of Christ is resting upon my life." That's what God's after in us. That's what's going to produce the goodly. I'm going to tell you, it's going to produce the goodly pearl, hallelujah, in our life. Going back to Colossians, in that 20th verse. Again, it's all through the blood. It is finished. There's nothing more that we can do than believe and receive His promises. He made peace between God and man. And it's not just the things of earth. It's the things that are even in heaven. You don't realize what Satan's defiling has done. It even affected part of the heavens. If you'll read that in Hebrews 9:23. But yet Christ's blood cleansed it all. It cleansed it all. It brought everything right. It rid the wickedness. Redemption was brought to us as believing. Hallelujah. And in believing we are joined. And I appreciate that. A lot of people talk about that verse about what God has joined, let no man put asunder. God's speaking to His children. Can't separate it. You can't get yourself away from God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. We're going to talk a little bit about that, more about that this evening. Verse 21. "And you that were sometime alienated," and you were alienated, "and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Now we have to realize again that we truly are as the tents of Kedar, as it will talk about in the Word of God there. It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." No man seeks after God. God has to draw you. We are in the natural at enmity with God. Yet again, there's that word, that wonderful word, reconcile. Changed thoroughly. And Jesus did change it all. Hallelujah. And let Him change it all every single day. You see, in that Mount Sinai, it became Mount Zion for us, didn't it? Where we had law and judgment, He brought grace and mercy. That's who loves you. Now, see, again, I so appreciate, and I really have to go back to those thoughts. And I believe the Lord just continues to encourage me about it. In my upbringing, and I appreciate that my mom introduced God to me this way. Said, "Son, it's grace and mercy. Do you realize what He's done for you? Do you realize you're justified? It's just as if you've never sinned. Not only has He forgiven you, He has forgotten everything that you've ever done wrong. You stand complete, whole." I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. I really am before God. It's hard to constrain myself because I know how much He loves me. Now, son, because of that, that's why you love Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Somebody ever done anything in the natural so wonderful for you and just did it because they loved you? Usually that's a parent. anymore in these days, sometimes parents are pretty wicked. And you know why? Because they get away from the things of God. They think they don't want to correct anymore. They don't want to be things. You know, I need to start thinking of me. Let me tell you something. You're a parent. Read the Word of God. You're to think of your household. You know what your household is? You're the household of God. Be His house. Hallelujah. I'm serious. Let Him dwell in you. Praise God. And let you dwell in Him. That's what He's after in our life. But again, we have been changed completely. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. It says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled," oh, there's that word again, reconciled, "to God by the death of His Son." It wasn't by your works. It wasn't by your goodness. Jesus Christ took that place and He died for us. "Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God." See, a lot of people, again, and how insulting do you think it must be to God that people think that they could come to Him without His Son? Oh, there's many paths out there. They'll say, "Oh, well, you're just narrow-minded." No, I have the mind of Christ. If this is where I'm going with it, is the Word of God. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There is one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Christ Jesus. And this is what this word says. It's not that I'm trying to be condemning to somebody or anything like that. It's just He's the way. He is the way. And as my little son used to tell me about his wonderful great-grandpa going to be with the Lord, "Daddy, that's way. Amen. That is so way." And if we could only realize that. "But not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We have been reconciled. We have been accepted because of the mercy seat of God. See, that was when the veil was rent in twain, that we could go on in. All in that wondrous death. He gave Himself to die, and I am accepted in the Beloved, because He has made me holy, it says here. Are you looking around to wonder who I'm talking to? You believe that God has made you holy? You don't make yourself holy. He makes you holy. This is God's work. We are His workmanship. Amen? Allow. Remember we were talking about on Sunday? Let. We should. It's His work. Do. I do not read in this book as a Christian. It's His work. It's surrendering. It's yielding. It's completely being submissive to His will. That's something that's hard for us to do. But that's the do, isn't it? It's to let Him. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Bodhi said it like this. "Holy as God purposed, unblameable as His Son provided, and unreprovable by the Holy Spirit working for the purpose of our deity with Him." I appreciate that, sister. She saw so many things in this wonderful word. "But we are justified and worthy. Nothing ever to be levied against us again." And now that He has done that, now that, again, we are worthy by His grace, let us walk worthy. Because someday, do you realize, brothers and sisters, He's going to let them know that you're His son. He's going to let Him know that you're His son. And I get just chills thinking, someday He's going to let them know that He loved me. A lot of people say, "Jesse, what did you do? You know, you had a pretty good thing going." Sometimes Jesse even wonders, "What did I do?" No. Just keep praying for me. I need a lot of it. But it's His work. It's His work. And it's going to be worth it all. And someday I'm going to stand with you. And I'm just going to stand there in awe of Him. But one of the great benefits is He's going to stand there in awe of me. What do you think about that? Some people don't like to hear that. They don't. Read this word. He wants somebody to jointly rule and reign with Him. He doesn't want robots. He wants something that chooses. That's going after Him. It says, I'm going to go. I've heard a lot about you, my dear Isaac. I'm going to go. Praise God. Only Jesus can do that. All right. Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And I will tell you this. There will be those legalists that will take this verse right here. Well, see, brother, it says if. Before we address that, I'd like to look at just a few verses. And we're going to begin with John 3:16. And I hope that we can rejoice together in this. And I hope that this would only make you thrill to hear it again and again. How safe you are. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on, it says, for God sent His Son into the world, again, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So precious here, that word everlasting. Talked a little bit about on Sunday, didn't we? Everlasting means there's no end to it. It's eternity. It's forever. There was no ifs after it. There was no buts. It's everlasting. Let's go on to John 17. And again, just a few pieces of the Scripture to share and rejoice in. There's many others, but John 17, verses 9 through 12. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Look at that. Now, wait a second. What's going on here? Oh, well, I'm praying for all the world to be this and all the world. This is Jesus Christ here. Hallelujah. I pray not for the world. What? But for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine, and all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. See the unity of the Spirit He's trying to call His children into, as opposed to the unity of divisions, huh? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Are you the Lord's tonight? I hope you can say you're the Lord's tonight. Do you think He's a good keeper? Do you think that we should ever insult Him, that He could ever lose what He's keeping? Huh? Come on now. Know it. Rejoice in it. See, and I think sometimes, really as a Christian, and I know where I can go with this sometimes, is I know by the grace of God He's my keeper. But sometimes I get so ashamed and I get such guilt that sometimes I think that I'm really not being kept by Him. He's always keeping you. I may not be faithful, but He abides faithful still. He abides faithful still. Let that love so grip you. To say, Lord, You love me so. You've done so much for me. You have given it to me. I just want to love You. And by loving, by the grace of God, I want to get into this Word. And that's the faith that's going to be built in my life. And by faith is how we please God. By believing this Word. It's just believing it. As I believe it, I'll grow up in it. Because I'm feeding my soul. I was talking to a brother tonight. He's talking about how he'd like a church next to him, and I appreciate that. We like convenience. But then in a lot of ways, you know what? When I find a good restaurant, I'll drive quite a ways to go get that good food, huh? How about your soul? How about your soul? Come on now. And you know, this is just encouraging words. Go get it. Only that done for Christ is going to last. Hallelujah. And it's all for you. It's all for me. Praise God about this. Praise God. But again, that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. You're His child. Hallelujah. He's got you. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. I have to tell you, one of the reasons this was on my heart so is one of my sons. There was a teacher that he had was trying to tell him about losing his salvation. Let's go to Romans 8:1. I was so thankful. He said, I think my dad told me something about Romans 8. So let's read a couple things about this. Let's read just a couple here. Romans 8:1. Let me ask you. Are you in Christ Jesus this evening? Are you in Christ Jesus this evening? Come on, be bold. I'll tell you what, I hope you wouldn't be shy to say I'm in Christ Jesus this evening. Come on now. You know, people say, well, I'm proud to be an American. If you're a Christian, you're a citizen of heaven. And that's your forever. Know the word, huh? Help me to believe the word. I might know it here, but help me live it here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You in Christ Jesus? There's no condemnation. There's not. Okay? I don't care how much you may want to lay something over your brother or sister, but they're not condemned. They're not condemned. Go over to the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us? A lot of people you'll talk to. Oh, nobody can but you. Well, let's examine what the Lord says. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So death ain't going to separate us from it. I think is what he's saying there. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Do you understand when you really understand and believe the love of God and how unending it is, how powerful it is in your life? That's when you'll become the conqueror. You'll be able to love beyond things that you don't think you can love beyond. Love. Oh, love. His love is the love that won't let you go. By the grace of God, get that love in your life that will bridge those things that that He's challenging you with. Remember, He's going to allow these things in your life. We couldn't be overcomers if we didn't have anything to overcome. Sometimes I need to be reminded that because my little brain, it forgets. Well, God, I thought I was supposed to be in a lotus land of ease. I thought it was just supposed to be the, you know, the yellow brick road. And it was golden bricks, Whom He loves, He chastens. How are we going to get to be that beautiful bride unless we are tried? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. I love that one. We present? I'm here. You hear? Okay, that can't separate you from the love of God. All right, we'll go on just in case you needed sufficient witness. Nor things to come. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be things to come, but I really do know I'm things to come because I'm forever. He's given me everlasting life. Hallelujah. I guess there's another one there, huh? Nor height, nor depth, nor anything created. Anything in creation. Now, I think I can talk to most Christians and I say, look, do you believe in creation? Oh, yeah. You part of creation? Oh, yes. Can creation separate you from the love of God? No. Then what are we talking about? Isn't He precious? I know we know this. But this is what He's getting at here. This is the love of God that will never, by His grace, let us go. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is the last one I'd like to touch on. And there's many others, brothers and sisters. You know this. But just again, being instant in season, to be able to give out an answer. Oh, to be ready, to be prepared, to know that we can stand in defense of the gospel by His grace. And the Holy Spirit will give this to you. Verse 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. And it's amazing how many people just pick that little thing out of there and say, the Bible says, if you deny Him, He'll deny us. Read the whole thing. You know, I could pick out bits and words and, I'm not even going to go there. You imagined what I was going to say. But you could pick out anything in here. But it says, if we deny Him, He will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now what's He talking about there? Huh? New creation? What do you think? The incorruptible seed? That's what you are as a child of God. He can't deny Himself. He can't deny me. Now, I'm not arrogant about it. I'm just thankful about it. I'm not going to abuse it by the grace of God. I'm not going to sin willfully that grace can just go abounding in my life. I want to live for Him because of this love that He's given me. The love that He's shown to me. This is the harmony that God wants us to be in with Him, is to know that we are loved. Now, I want to go back to our text. Now, again, you can read scripture after scripture after scripture, can't you? And people can take little things and try to twist them around. Sometimes you're just going to have to leave them to even Christians. They have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. They're just not going to go with it. Bible says to grow in what? Grace. And it didn't stop there, though, did it now? And knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives us the grace. Without grace, you're never going to grow. Without the Word of God and knowing Him. How are you going to know Jesus? It's going to come by the Word. Line up on line. Precept on precept. That's why we have to, by the grace of God, I really believe when you study the Word, get in here, look at these things, and be in prayer all the time. Because this isn't going to get it. You'll never. These things are not to be naturally understood. It's only spiritually understood. Only by the heart. Only by what God can give us, and by His grace, we can get in here and rightfully divide this wonderful Word. But in studying the Word of God, I want to bring this out again, and I think you've heard me say this. You need to know who is speaking. Again, who is speaking? And in this text, who is speaking? Obviously, this is the Holy Spirit that's speaking through man. But who is the man that is writing this at this time? It's Paul. Paul is what? By the grace of God, a full overcomer. He's a bridal saint. If there ever was a bridal saint, I believe it's our precious brother Paul, who went through the things, who was given this dispensation. The divine arrangement of the ages is what that dispensation means. The divine arrangement of the ages. This is who's speaking. Now, who's being spoken to? Well, we read about that this was to saints and to faithful brethren, right? And we saw that the difference there, that faithful brethren are saints, but saints aren't always faithful brethren, are we? Huh? Come on now, know who we are. By the grace of God, He makes us faithful, doesn't He? Huh? As we yield to Him. So again, and then we just went through verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Who is He really speaking to there? He's speaking to those faithful brethren saints. This is the high calling. These are the saints in light. This is who He's speaking to. And what's He speaking about? He's talking about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what this is talking about. This is talking, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. This is where we're at here in this verse. So now that we have that, do you understand again, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, 24 through 29, by the grace of God. I don't know if we're going to get there tonight. I pray we would. Only the Lord knows. But sometimes it's frustrating, brothers and sisters. There's just so much, as you know. But we're going to talk about the mystery in Christ. This is what this is setting us up for. By the grace of God, if we will allow Him to, by His grace, make us grounded and settled in the Word of God, there's a high calling for us. There's a mystery that's in the saints that's being done at this time. And it's a bride. And it's going to be a people for His name's sake. And it's going to be a people that meets Him in the air. There are going to be different raptures. You read through the Word of God, it's very clear. It says, when you see these things starting to happen, and I start to see these things happen in the world, it says, look up. It's nigh. It's so nigh. Thank God it's nigh. Yeah, there's goodness about departing out of this mire. But it's to be with Jesus. It's to be with Jesus. Again, the bride, she wants to be with the husband, not because she wants to get out of the house. It's because she wants to be with her husband. That's what we want to be with, is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that that wonderful vision that we can have. But again, believe it or not, what it's talking about here is there are saints that their faith wavers. They're not rooted. The vision may be faded. This is what, again, this 23rd verse is trying to encourage us to. The correction, Colossians. They're no longer looking or loving His appearing. as the church at Ephesus, they've left their first love. And why? If you notice here, it's because they have moved what? They moved away. Do you get it? Jesus is the rock. He's never going to move. Look what it says here. They are not settled, they're not grounded, and they're moved away from the hope of the gospel. And what's so precious about this whole thing, even more so in this case, it's the hope of Paul's gospel. Because this is the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 3:14. Paul's mystery or dispensation, the divine arrangement of the ages. Where do you hear that anymore, brothers and sisters? I am not trying to praise anything about this place. I'm just talking facts. Where do you hear that in pulpits today? It's almost extinct. But that's what they did to Paul back then. Huh? All in Asia have forsaken me. And this is the guy who had it all. Huh? The mystery, the divine arrangement, and all of them forsook him. He had to beg him to bring his coats. Huh? Bring me the parchments, though. Give me the word. Hallelujah. Even if I can't keep this old body warm, I want this heart just raging inside me. Let that speak to you, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But see, this is the gospel in Romans 2:16 that says the secrets of men are going to be judged by. This is the mystery that we've read about in Ephesians 3:1-8. This was Paul's ministry. If you read here, it says this is the ministry that I have. And let's know and begin to know this word. I'd like to go ahead and read Ephesians 1-8 just to refresh us. That's Ephesians 3:1-8. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Again, the word dispensation is the divine arrangement of the ages of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay, here's this mystery. All right? This mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Holy Spirit's so important. That the Gentiles... And the Gentiles in this respect are God's people. This is talking about the seed of Abraham. Ones that know the Lord as their Savior. Should now be fellow heirs. Synkleronymous. Remember that word in the Greek. Join heirs as man and wife. That's the definition. Of the same body. Partakers of his promise in Christ. By what? By the gospel. See, people don't want to hear gospel. People don't want to have sound doctrine. People don't even want to hear doctrine. The ministers today that are on the TV, big churches, appreciate however Christ is preached. But they'll say matter-of-factly, people do not want to hear doctrine today. They don't want to hear it. They want self-help. They want a psychologist. They want Tony Robbins in a pulpit. It's true. Facts are facts. Get out of vain deceit. Get out of man's philosophy. Get into sound doctrine. This is what this is about. Oh, by grace may we attain. Wherefore I was made a minister. Again, he's the minister of this. According to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So wonderful. Now keep that in mind. Let's go to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Now again, here comes the mystery. Christ in me is man and wife. But what it's talking about here, are we going to suffer? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, the word tells us, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. You will find that in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And this, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and read that, even though I quoted that. Sometimes my wife accuses me of going over the verses too quickly. And we don't want to go over them too quickly, do we? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay? We're a child of God. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are His child. And if a child, then an heir. An heir of God. And a joint heir with Christ if, here's an if. It wasn't an if you were a child. It wasn't an if you were an heir. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. Isn't that wonderful? Now we're going to read about, maybe not this evening, but I'll give you a little peek into verse 27 of Colossians. That we may be glorified together with Him. It says there, Christ in you, which is what? The hope of glory, isn't it? That's what it's going to take. We're going to have to go. And not that we get caught up in the sufferings, it's just going to happen. Want to be an overcomer? Got to have things to overcome. It's real simple. It's so funny. The Lord just hit me again this week. We make things so complicated, don't we? Simplicity that's in the gospel. It's laid out for us. You know, they talk about in basketball, it's a layup. This is a layup. Maybe even a slam dunk, huh? Amen. It's right there for us. Praise God. This is something that He wants us to enter into. But a lot of times I was thinking about this suffering. This is not the suffering for our wrong. You know what I'm talking about there? You know how many people, they say, oh, I'm suffering. Many of us dwell out of His will, I put here. When we're dwelling out of His will, when we're dwelling in sin, we try to say, well, we're suffering for Christ's sake. No, you're not. You're suffering the consequences of sin. You are. You will suffer the consequence of sin. Now, it's not death, but there are consequences of sin. When we are out of the will of God, there's things that we're going to suffer. There's things that might even carry throughout our whole life that we were caught up into. But I know who gives me joy. And I know who can turn sorrow into joy. Huh? Do you believe it? I believe it. I've lived it. I know there's things that I did completely outside of the will of God. But in His marvelous way and in His wonderful grace and mercy, He's taken things and made them so beautiful. Do you think He allowed Peter to turn away from Him? To give Peter maybe 1st and 2nd Peter? What do you think? Huh? What do you think? He did. Sometimes He has to. I tell you, when you love, it's not that He let you go. I don't want you to get me wrong here. But He had to let Him go. He had to let Him fall. Look at what David was able to write after the things he did. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out there and sin that you can get some wonderful revelation from God. Don't want to go there. But, you know, it's His work. And all I want to do by the grace of God is encourage His work. Okay? All right, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. So appreciate that. Again, going back to Ephesians 3, we just read. The minister for the divine arrangement of the ages. This was given to Paul to fulfill the word of God. This is the people for His namesake, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful we got to hear, because I'd like to read this next verse. Even the mystery which had... Oh, here we go about the mystery again. All right. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Now, in Ephesians, do you remember how it said that the Gentiles could be fellow heirs? Now, a lot of people will go in there and say, oh, well, see, you know, that was just the Gentiles then could be saved. If you know the Word of God in the Old Testament, who is Ruth? Who is Rahab? And the scores of other Gentiles that were saved. Jesus was still there to save that which was lost even back then. But I love this verse. There's something a little bit different about this that the Lord will point out to us here. It says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. So it's been hidden from man, is what this is talking about here. And now is made manifest to His saints. Now, wait a second. What's a saint? Somebody who's saved. Is that not right? Well, what's it saying here? It needs to... He's manifesting something to His people that are already saved. So what is the... He's given a mystery and revealing a mystery to those who are already saved. So you see how people, when they even want to take that out of context, the Ephesians part, Am I making myself clear here? Do you get me? Do you see where I'm going with this? This is to His saints. These are already ones that are saved even, that He's revealing this mystery to. You see? That's the precious thing about the Lord. He'll go ahead and give you a sufficient witness in this. This is a precious thing. Again, this is sunc Hieronymus, joint heirs as man and wife. Salvation wasn't hidden from the Gentiles, as we've already said. But this is different. This is the true worshiper that the Lord's talking about here. The worshiper that God Himself is seeking, that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, hallelujah. That's who He's working for. And it is now manifest through Paul, the minister of the dispensation for us. And I think how clear. How clear. Why everyone's not running is the mystery to me. I have to say it, that's the mystery. Now, not that we've already attained, don't get me wrong. But when you see these things, isn't it something? But you know what? Rejoice, however Christ is preached. You know, you get to that arrogant level and say, well, I see this and you don't. Well, you just missed it. You did. The bride's thankful. She's rejoicing. She has the same love. She has the same caring. She wants them all to come. Christ wanted all men to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? If He would have just said that, I would have just been so thrilled with that. But He didn't stop there. See, Christ never stops there. That's what I love about Him. It's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. That's your Jesus. But He said, I would have all men to be saved. But not just that, but to come to a full knowledge of the truth. A full knowledge, complete. Even though your word says to a knowledge, go look that up. It's a full knowledge. It means complete. We're going to read here, by the grace of God, we'll get through Colossians someday, believe it or not. Well, Jesus tarry. He'll give it to us that the word will go on forever anyways. But it says in Colossians 4:12, it says that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's the completeness that He has. That's His plan for us. All the will of God. So absolutely, incredibly wonderful. And this is, I guess just in closing, I'd say again, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. It's His word. It's in His Son. And this is our will. You ever thought of it like that too? This is our will. You're reading your inheritance. If you're a child of God, you're an heir. You're going to inherit something. But as we read tonight, there's a joint heirship. This is your will. I said it before. If Bill Gates happened to be your dad or your grandpa, and he was on his deathbed, I'll guarantee you, you would have a whole flock of attorneys looking over his will to see how much you're going to get. Think? This is forever. That's a wealth that's going to waste away. Moth's going to get it. It ain't going to be here. Everything that we see naturally with these eyes, it's going to be gone. The things I see by the grace of God in His Spirit that He's given me, it's forever. That's why I'm looking out at forever this evening. Forever. There's forever out here. Isn't that wonderful? And not forever here. That'd be awful depressing. Now, people, I think, could you imagine that your hope would be to live here forever, to have them strap you up on something and pump something into you and you could formaldehyde and whatever. What a depressing thought. I don't care if I could even have a good body and being in this thing forever. I guess I have an attention span like a flea. No. We're going to be forever in a place that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men. What God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you believe it? I believe we do. I really believe it. I believe it. It's so sweet to believe that. That makes me thrill. That makes life worth living. And every day, I think, it's just that much closer to Him authoring and finishing my faith. By His grace. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we thank You. Oh, I thank You, I thank You, I thank You. Appreciate hearts that You've caused to come to worship You, Lord. I thrill in my brothers and sisters, I really do. before You. You know our heart. Lord, help us to come to You with, again, that pure heart, the honest heart, Lord God, that You can do something with. Help us to be the good ground to receive the Word of God. Help it to work effectually in us. Thank You for being here this evening. You're so faithful. Thank You again. In Jesus' name, amen.